Hey guys, I'm your host Trevor Salzman. We're starting our new podcast, BRN Podcast. Guys, we are going to start off right now. We're going to get into a bunch of different things real quick. I'm going to go over a couple of things about me and what we're going to be doing with this BRN Podcast. Guys, we're going to be going live as well, eventually on YouTube. So check that out. Check our channel out, BRN Podcast. That is what our name is on YouTube. We're going to be doing a podcast every, we're going to try to do it every Sunday at least. We're going to be doing, we're going to be covering the Broncos, Rockies, and the Nuggets, all news from throughout the whole week. Like tonight, today, we're going to get into, some Broncos talk, the draft, just NFL 2021 NFL draft just ended today. So we're going to get into that, and get to some rumors and to likelihoods of different players, you know, for the Aaron Rodgers trade talk, the whole, Aaron Rodgers trade talk was happening throughout the whole draft. We're going to get into that as well. And so just excited, guys. Just excited to start this podcast. We're going to be also tomorrow. I'm going to have a podcast out. We're going to be talking Rockies and Nuggets tomorrow. So we won't talk Rockies and Nuggets tonight. We're going to be talking Broncos talk post-draft. Denver Bronco talk. You know, how much better did the Broncos get? You know, any surprises and the Broncos didn't take. An early draft grade. We'll give the Broncos an early draft grade, guys. We're gonna see what the Broncos did and how well they improved their team. And what I didn't like, did and didn't like with the Broncos draft, and how George Payton approached his very first NFL draft as a Broncos general manager. Also, like I said, we're going to talk about the Aaron Rodgers trade talks post and pre-draft. What I was hearing about, and what now post-draft, what I think might happen. Tomorrow we'll get into the Rockies and Jeff Breidz resigning and some possible GM candidates, early GM candidates going into the offseason, as the Rockies will name a new GM in the offseason. So we're going to be talking, we'll talk about that as well tomorrow. But guys, I just want to get into it a little bit, talk about myself. I am just a sports lover. I'm a fan. I've always had sports knowledge ever since I was a little boy. I grew up watching sports, grew up watching the Broncos every Sunday. I've seen a lot of great seasons from the Broncos. I've seen a lot of bad seasons from the Denver Broncos. I've seen a lot of bad seasons from the Denver Nuggets, and a lot of great seasons from Denver Nuggets. I've seen a lot of bad Rockies teams and some good years from the Rockies. So I have good knowledge of all these, of the three sports teams we're going to be covering right now. It takes a lot of research throughout my day to come up with this type of stuff. So if you guys would like and subscribe on YouTube, it would be very, very helpful. And it's really going to help us out, going forward. So that's my whole perspective on how I am as far as where I'm at. Also going to college right now and the process of that, going for sports management. So I wanted to kind of do this on the side to see where this takes us, guys. If this podcast, if it shoots up and we end up getting somewhere with this podcast, we could do a podcast a couple times a week. I mean, that's where I'm willing to make this work, to make this work and give our knowledge to the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies. There's always news coming out about those guys, about those teams and the players and the coaches, and there's always changes coming out. So we'll be talking about that, or we will be covering that throughout this whole podcast, and we'll go live at times as well later on throughout everything. But a little bit of background on me, guys. I'm going to college right now for sports management. I want to do this on the side. It's a little side thing right now, but it's also it has my focus as well. It's something I've really wanted to do for a long time. I've played sports for many, many years throughout high school. Went from baseball to football to basketball, also through middle school. Most of my later elementary years, fourth grade, I played basketball. So I know a lot what it takes to, I've been on a lot of winning teams, a lot of losing teams. So that's from my perspective, I want to bring that sports knowledge to you guys, to share it out there with the world. That's kind of the whole rundown of me. So guys, we'll get into it right now. We're going to talk about the Denver Broncos, how they did in the draft, guys. So we're going to get down to that nitty and gritty right here. So PFF, Pro Football Focus, has graded the Denver Broncos draft class as a A-. They say the Patrick Surtain was kind of a big surprise for the Broncos and what he did for them, or what they're getting for a player as far as his magnitude. You know, I like what the Broncos have done. Honestly, guys, like Patrick Surtain is a good player. I mean, these are all good players that the Broncos have gotten. They're gonna be some undrafted guys that'll make the team. There's always that every year, so take that in accountability. Patrick Surtain, though, guys, I think that Patrick Surtain is just he's one of those guys that stuck out to me. No, don't get me wrong. When the Broncos were searching for corner, At the beginning of free agency, I was liking Patrick Surtain. I'm like, Patrick Surtain, I really want that guy, you know, on my team. And I'm glad Denver picked him now. I wasn't the biggest fan because I like Justin Fields on the board. There at 9, I did not expect Justin Fields to slip there at 9. And the matter of fact that he did and Denver didn't take him, it's kind of gut-punching to me that, you know, and it shows me their confidence in Drew Lock. Either A, it's their confidence in Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, or it's B, they have a trade like Aaron Rodgers thing coming down. They thought it was close, or they think they can get a deal done. That's what that kind of told me. I think that Denver really had concern. They really, you know, wasn't big fan Drew Lock fans. They didn't think he was going to succeed, or you know, as far as Aaron Rodgers, and they didn't think they can get a deal done. I think they would have taken Justin Fields right there. I'm a Justin Fields fan. I know a lot of people are back and forth on Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields, quarterback out of Ohio State, of course. That's what we're talking about. I think him going to Chicago was the best thing for Chicago. Matt Nagy and then the crew, their jobs are on the lines right now, so they really needed to get something done as far as quarterback wise. And you know, I think the Bears all solidly they had a great, really good draft. And as far as looks like, I like some of the Broncos picks though. I like Patrick Surtain. I think that he's the best defensive corner on the clock right there. You know, he's just, and on the whole draft, Patrick Surtain was the best corner in this draft, no doubt about it. So I like that pick for Denver long term. I don't like it for now. The now thing of it, because I just think that they're so stacked at corner, which I think that kind of haunted Denver obviously last year with the injuries. But I just don't like it. Love it now because I think that Denver has other needs. But again, when you draft guys, fans don't understand this as much as well. When you draft, it's about best. You want to take the best player available possible, and that's what I thought Denver did. They put themselves in a great position. They didn't have to take a quarterback. They didn't have to take a cornerback. They didn't have to take anything. They didn't have to take anyone as far as any certain position, and that's the better way to go. Usually, a lot of you want to take the best player available, not necessarily a need. Because if you're taking a need, you could be reaching. And like so for Denver, Patrick Surtain, I thought that. You know, I was thinking at first when Denver selected Patrick Surtain there at 9, I was thinking, wow, you know, I was shocked. I didn't know why they took him there. I didn't know why they passed up on Justin Fields, and, you know, he was there for the taking. I thought that, you know, from everything I was hearing, Denver was interested in him. You know, I think the quick switch of the finger, I don't think Denver was actually interested in him at all through a lot of this. I think that I was shocked, though. I was like, Denver could move down to get Patrick Surtain. But then I saw Dallas, and Dallas traded back at 10. And so I was like, well, I think that Denver actually stole Patrick Surtain from the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are actually going to take Surtain from the Cowboys there at 10. I think if the Broncos didn't take Surtain there, they're going to trade back. Dallas is going to take him. So Denver really couldn't trade back through a lot of this. So I think that's why they got Surtain at 9. That's another big reason why they got him there. I don't love the value there. I think they could have still traded down potentially 2, 3, 4 spots. Another team could have jumped up and got Justin Fields or whatever. I know that Denver had negotiations with the Saints and a few other teams about and then we're just trading way back, and that's too far back for Denver to trade back. So Denver did not end up doing that deal whatsoever, which is probably good as far as value wise for this team. Javonte Williams, the running back of North Carolina, I actually like that pick a lot for Denver. They were really aggressive. I was kind of surprised. You know, I was really surprised that Denver was willing to jump that high in the second round for a running back. But I think that Javonte Williams, from everything I've heard, guys, he's every down back, and he could be, as you say, an every down back. I think that Javonte Williams is a very talented player, and I think that he's going to make himself in the fold for Denver. You wonder where Melvin Gordon's leash at is in Denver because of the Javonte Williams drafty here, you know, in the second round. I didn't think that Denver was going to go again running back there in the second round. I was thinking maybe linebacker, but The guy at Notre Dame, I can't think of his name right now, but off the top of my head, but he was the guy that I thought Denver was going to trade up for. But no, it was ended up being Javonte Williams. And I think that Melvin Gordon's on a 1-year deal, right? So he's towards the back end of his career as far as where he's at. Melvin Gordon isn't going to get a whole lot better. So I think that Javonte Williams, that helps future wise. Like, you look at what Denver's doing with their draft. Patrick Surtain, Javonte Williams. You know, you have Quentin Merritt from the guard and the center. These are future picks going down the line. It's kind of saving Denver's butt with Surtain, especially Surtain and Javonte Williams. They'll come in. It's not that they can't come in right away and be factors, guys. It's just that they also, Denver's looking for the future with these guys, because you have you have Ron Darby for the future, but you have Bryce Callahan as far as expiring deal. You have Kyle Fuller he's expiring deal. So it makes me think, how much is Denver going to keep those guys around long term? I don't think that the likelihood's very good right now with Patrick Surtain being drafted right here. I think Patrick Surtain, guys, and this is the last thing I want to know about Patrick Surtain. Everyone's criticizing Patrick Surtain move, and it's questionable as a Vic Fangio pick, all this stuff. But guys, at the end of the day, Patrick Surtain in the long run could be a really good draft pick for Denver. I think this guy has potential shutdown cornerback type of traits. I just think that he's a guy that we have not seen in Denver for a while as far as a shutdown corner. And Denver don't have to go out in a free agency and pay a top-notch corner to come in here. They actually have one on the roster, Patrick Surtain. I know we're saying that, giving the guy too many expectations right now, but man, Patrick Surtain would be a great, and I think he's going to be a great corner going forward. He don't have to step in and be the guy right away either. He can be a guy that learns behind the rest of these guys, but that learns behind Ronald Darby, that learns behind Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, Patrick Surtain. This team's got plenty of depth with corner. Actually took two corners in this draft, but Patrick Surtain is going to be a beast, guys. Trust me, he is the real deal as far as being a corner. I've watched this guy's tape. He's going to be something special for Denver going forward, and I'm really excited to see, again, and Javonte Williams as well. Patrick Surtain, Javonte Williams, and not even only them, Quentin Mertz, these three guys going forward as far as their future as far as with Denver. They're really good, and even Baron Browning, the linebacker they took in the third round at the 105th pick in the draft. He's a guy that I think has got a lot of potential as far as he could have been a second round pick, people are saying. So it's just, there's a lot of, Denver did a lot of good, but people are mad that they didn't get a corner. And I think Denver's future looks even brighter with the names they got in the draft throughout the night, these past couple of days. I think Denver's made their team better for now, and not only now, but for the long run as well. More for the long run than now, I think. Quentin Mertz, I don't know a ton about him. I know that Mel Kiper and Tom McShay were on ESPN, two draft experts on there, were saying Quentin Mertz was the most creative workout videos he's had. And I think Quentin Mertz, from what I've heard, he's a strong-willed kid. He got a strong mind. Kind of reminds me of a Quentin Nelson mind. So I think that his mindset's good. I don't know. I think he'll push Lloyd Cushenberry. I think he's going to push Lloyd Cushenberry for a lot of reasons. His mindset, he's just barrel over people in college. I've seen his tape. Again, he's barrel people over in college. I think he's going to definitely push Lloyd Cushenberry. And Lloyd Cushenberry, again, he's got to be he's kind of in trouble. Like, these first three picks for Denver, Surtain, Williams, and Mertz, these guys are going to be pushers. You know, they're going to have to push for Melvin Gordon's job, for Javonte Williams, Patrick Surtain for Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, Bryce Callahan, Quentin Mertz for Lois Cushenberry's spot, Baron Browning for, I don't, not as much, but for other jobs as far as AJ Johnson and those guys. So that's kind of where, like, a lot of this is pushing these other players, the veteran players, to kind of get better and to kind of say, hey, well, we got draft picks, our four draft picks we got in the first three rounds are guys that are going to push for jobs. And so I think it's very logical for Denver here. Quentin Mertz, I like the pick. I really like these first four picks for sure. And I've definitely heard some good names or some good things on these guys. Again, I'm not a draft expert or anything, but what the research I've done on these guys, it's actually
worth noting that I'm like, you know, my first analysis, we were like, oh, okay, whatever, Denver, you know, that didn't love that pick, whatever. But then I did more analysis on these guys, and the more and more analysis I do on these guys and getting to hear what these guys say, the more and more I'm starting to like him even more. Our 105th pick, Baron Browning, again, I mentioned him a little earlier. He's a guy that I think was going to come in right away. I think that out of all four, out of the Surtain, Williams, and Mertz, and Browning, Browning's a guy that's going to come in right away, and he's going to be expected to do something as far as the inside linebacker position. He can cover a lot of different spots. I mean, he's a cover linebacker type of guy. I really think that he's going to turn heads as far as in Denver. I think that he's in the right position with Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio is really he's going to take him, I think, to the next level. And I've heard Browning's pass rushing abilities is off the charts. He couldn't really find a role for Ohio State, but I think he was bouncing inside and outside. They're going to try him on the inside first, inside linebacker. If not, he will be an outside guy probably eventually. He could potentially be a Von Miller type of replacement down the line, or a, you know, preferably probably inside linebacker. That's probably, I think that's what they prefer him to be. I think he's going to be a player that's going to come in and command attention. And I really like Browning's potential going forward as far as a linebacker and staying. You know, linebacker's been a big thing for Denver for a lot of years. I really like Micah Parsons from Penn State. I really thought that Denver really should have focused on him as far as linebacker. I would love to see Denver try to get Micah Parsons, but of course, I got a team like Dallas, a team that Denver got in front to take Patrick Surtain, would take Micah Parsons. I was a huge fan of Micah Parsons. He's one of those linebackers that he's gonna be, you don't see every day, I should say. And the guys are going on the list. Jamar Johnson, I've heard really good things from Indiana on. This on Pro Football Focus says Jamar Johnson, might be one of the best picks in the entire draft. He fits Vic Fangio's defense like a glove. He was a clear second-round pick in Pro Football Focus's eyes. His tackling issues, a small sample size, may have scared some teams away, but the coverage ability he displays at Indiana was special. Johnson played all over the field and thrived in every role. It seemed like Jamar Johnson, the safety from Indiana, might be also a big name to watch out for Denver. Again, a lot of these guys like Seth Williams, Kane Steens, even Jamar Johnson, Kerry Vincent Jr., all those guys are going to be a lot of special teams guys. Like those four will probably be special teams guys for a while. I expect it to be. I don't expect those guys to be over. I don't expect those guys to be like starters right away. Those definitely not starters. But again, some potential down the road for Denver as far as, you know, Jamar Johnson and her hearing really good things about him and what he's able to do at Indiana. I haven't watched the kids' tape too much. So I just think that Jamar Johnson, though, has a lot of, you know, it sounds like he has a lot of potential. And I think that he will potentially strive around a guy like Justin Simmons. And I heard an interview earlier. They're interviewing Jamar Johnson. He's actually saying he's excited to learn behind Justin Simmons. I think that would be a great deal for him. It's probably the best spot he could possibly be in to learn behind a guy like Justin Simmons. If Denver got a guy like Justin Simmons in the fifth round with Jamar Johnson, Denver got a steal, no doubt about it. Jonathan Cooper, Marquise Spencer, edge rushers. I don't know too much about these guys. Again, I don't know how well these guys are going to be on the team and how many of these guys will actually make the team. I'm not sure. Seventh rounders are kind of hard to make the team. I'm actually surprised Denver kept all seventh round picks. I didn't expect them to be to keep all three of them, but they actually did. So all in all, I think again, my overall perspective on Denver and this whole draft class situation is I think that it's a wait and see, obviously, and that's every draft class going forward. But I think that Denver approached the draft with the right mindset. I think that Denver got their team better. No doubt about it. They definitely didn't make their team worse by getting these players. Obviously, you know, I mean, the only thing I question is why didn't you take Justin Fields there? But I'm not necessarily know that Denver was for sure interested in Justin Fields. I think that Trey Lance is the guy that people want to say, was Trey Lance the guy that Denver actually wanted or whatever, and he got picked at three? Would Denver have got Trey Lance if he was there at nine? We will really never know. To me, I was more of a Justin Fields type as far as I just think that he's – I think he's going to be a great player. And I think he's going to be a potential generational player or potentially generational quarterback. So I just think that Justin Fields, he's going to be a great pick for Chicago. I really hope that Denver didn't regret not taking Justin Fields here, because I was high on Justin Fields. I thought Justin Fields was the second best quarterback in the draft. You know, yes, in front of Zach Wilson, he's right behind Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion. The amount of success that kid had, and Justin, we're talking about Justin Fields here, and the amount of just, you know, he really couldn't get any better from him, was tremendous. And I think that Justin Fields will, at the end of the day, will probably be better than Zach Wilson. So guys, we'll move around, move away from the draft here a little bit. I got about 10 minutes left with this podcast. We're gonna be talking here a little bit of my draft grade. So I think that Denver, I'm gonna give Denver a B plus probably throughout this whole draft, an A minus, B plus. I'm right there with Pro Football Focus as far as giving Denver a grade. I like Surtain, more than other people probably do. Javonte Williams, I really do like that one as well. All around running back. I really like the top four for Denver. Surtain, Williams, Mertz, and Browning. I think that those four could have an impact on Denver. Against Denver's future could be really bright with those four going forward. And if asked, I think those four would be ready to step in. I think you got four really good players. I think that Johnson, he's a guy that's got potential. We'll see what he does. I think that Caden Stearns, Seth Williams, and Kerry Vincent Jr., probably a lot of them are going to be vet special teamers and very much so athleticism as well plays a part in all this. And there's no more excuses from Tom McMahon. I mean, as far as special teams coordinator, no more excuses from Tom McMahon. I really think that Tom McMahon, it's now or never special teams-wise. You know, Denver cannot rank into the bottom in special teams, in points given up, missed tackles, any of that stuff. Denver cannot – and I repeat, cannot stay at the bottom. I mean, there's no reason for it when you got the athleticism you got right now in the draft with some of these players. And so I think that overall B plus for me. I'm going to give Denver B plus for the draft. Wasn't horrible. Could have been better. I'm in the middle. B plus, B, something like that. Probably I'd probably say B plus. For Denver, just because I like those first four picks a lot. And Jamar Johnson, we'll see how he is. So guys, we're gonna talk here a little bit of Aaron Rodgers trade talks. So guys, I was hearing multiple reports, and as you guys were as well, multiple reports on Aaron Rodgers possibly being traded from the Packers to the Denver Broncos on Thursday night before the start of the draft. I don't know how realistic those were. I'm not sure at all. Actually, I think that those talks weren't really close. If you want my perspective on it, I think that Denver has the assets to get Aaron Rodgers. Don't get me wrong. And Denver's an Aaron Rodgers away from being a Super Bowl contender. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And no doubt about it, Aaron Rodgers could potentially be the second best, the first best quarterback in the AFC West. I mean, when it's all said and done. So, Denver was going to pass the Chargers. They'd pass the Raiders. They'd be right up there with the Chiefs. I think they might be better than the Chiefs if they got a guy like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Denver's defense is by far better than Chiefs' defense. Denver's offensive line, I think you can make a case for either one as far as Chiefs-wise. Denver, I think, had a better draft than the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that Denver would really take a step up from doing an Aaron Rodgers trade. But again, the perspective of what you have to give up, and I question, guys, is what you have to give up and what's your team going to look like after you trade for a guy like Aaron Rodgers? And are you going to trade all your future for Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I'm of course, anybody in their right mind would trade for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, no doubt about it. He can stay up on his feet. He just needs to, I think, I need an organization that's going to win. Green Bay has done a poor job at putting players around Aaron Rodgers, and I think they did with that with Jordan Love last year when they took the quarterback Jordan Love last year in the first round of the draft last year. That made no sense to me when there's receivers sitting there waiting for you, and you could have traded up to get a receiver. You could have got CD Lamb. I don't know why you didn't get a CD Lamb last year for Aaron Rodgers. You know, I don't blame Aaron Rodgers for being frustrated with Green Bay. Green Bay is a team that has been poor at putting teams around Aaron Rodgers, protecting him, giving him a good defense. When Aaron Rodgers has a good defense, receivers, the guy's unstoppable. I mean, it's sad that a talent like Aaron Rodgers cannot win because of all, and the Packers cannot take pressure off Aaron Rodgers because of, you know, because of, their lack ability to of making any moves as far as bigger moves, better, you know, drafting better, signing better free agents on the defensive side and the offensive side, giving Aaron Rodgers more weapons, tight end, receiver, the defensive side, getting more pass rushes. When Aaron Rodgers has the pass rushing, he has defense, good pass and good defense. This the Packers can be good. That's why I can understand Aaron Rodgers, why he's frustrated with that team. He wants to win Super Bowls. If the Packers don't win Super Bowls, Aaron Rodgers should move on. I agree with that. I think that the how likelihood of a Aaron Rodgers trade is, I'm still going to say probably, it's hard to say, guys, but I'm going to probably say 40 to 50%. I don't think it's overly likely, not just because I don't think Denver's interested or Aaron Rodgers is interested in Denver. I just don't know when the Packers and if the Packers will trade him. I mean, I've heard multiple reports that the Packers told Aaron Rodgers they'll trade him this offseason and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, are they going to really trade him now? Is the time now to trade Aaron Rodgers? I mean, if he's talking to other teammates about wanting to, or not that telling them that he's not going to be back, it's one thing. I'm not so sure that a trade like that can be, you know, done right away before training camp. I think it definitely could be from Denver's perspective and Green Bay's perspective. I think Denver and Green Bay has had discussions because knowing George Payton, how aggressive he is as a GM, I think that they've had discussions, but I do not think that they've become close on a deal. I know Mark Slayer was reporting that. I don't think that all my reporters I follow and everything I've heard of, it's not, Denver was not close to a deal with the Packers getting Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night. And I don't know how likelihood. I'm going to say a 50-50 shot. Probably I'll go 50% Aaron Rodgers to Denver Broncos before the start of the season. It wouldn't be something that I'm shocked by because I know the Broncos are going to be aggressive to acquire any quarterback they possibly can. I just don't know. I'd be a little more shocked the Packers would give up Aaron Rodgers that easy and give up on that's your franchise quarterback and has been for 12 seasons now. I mean, come on, you're gonna give that up? Like it's crazy to me, guys. So that's the likelihood of that. I think post draft, pre-draft, I was exciting, but I was excited about the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, and I'm excited because I think Denver can still be in discussions, and of course, Denver's going to be in discussions with the Packers on Aaron Rodgers, and there's no doubt about that. But I do not think that Denver's going to, or I don't think the Packers are going to give up on Aaron Rodgers that easy. I don't see an Aaron Rodgers to Broncos trade right away. Again, I think it's a 50-50 shot. I think if Aaron Rodgers, I could see a scenario where him and the Packers agree to kind of settle it out for the rest of the season or something like that. Or I could also see another way that Denver or the Packers and Aaron Rodgers just do not agree on anything and they agree to trade him. I would think if I'm the Packers, I would think that I would trade for I'd be doing Aaron Rodgers trade before the draft, but you never know. It's honestly, guys, when we'll talk about, there'll be more podcasts for us to talk about it more in depth later on. I just wanted to get this podcast out for you guys to our first podcast to talk about the draft, what my thoughts about the draft were as far as from a Denver Broncos perspective. We will have another podcast out tomorrow night, probably something around there. We're going to be talking about Jeff Breidich and the Rockies and again, and some Nuggets, and we'll kind of dive deep into that a little bit. But I really wanted to get this Aaron Rodgers talk out of the way. We'll talk about it probably, I'm sure, more down the line as well. But I also wanted to talk about the Broncos post-draft and my grade and what I gave them and some of the players I liked. I think that Denver, again, had a good, really solid draft. Was it their best draft that I've ever seen? No. But I think that Denver was solid enough, and I think they definitely improved. I mean, that's bottom line. They improved from not only now for the future, bottom line. So thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Please like and subscribe on YouTube and just really get this podcast out, guys. I really want to push this going forward. And, guys, and if we push this forward and we kind of get this out there a little more, we will definitely be doing more podcasts throughout the week. I'm going to be going live eventually as well. I got to get my camera and everything set up with that for that. So, but for right now, guys, this has been the BRN podcast. I am your host, Trevor Salzman. Thank you for listening and have a great day.